When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Trials of Apollo, The Tyrant's Tomb, Chapter 37. I didn't do it. Explosion? I don't know her. Probably Greg's fault. A third-degree burn was the least painful thing I carried from that tunnel. I staggered into the open, my back sizzling.
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Sizzling, hands steaming. Ava, Neve, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. I'm liking the vibe that we already have going for this episode. I'm chilling. Same kind of update as last week. Been working a lot, but I was off today, and I'm off tomorrow and the next day. So even though it is quite literally Monday when we're recording this, I have a beautiful 3-day weekend of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before I have to work either of my jobs again, which is really, really awesome. I love resting. That was totally believable, right? anyway, I have a bottle of wine, and I'm just excited to get going on this. It's getting all springy outside, which is not great for my allergies, but I'm on that sweet, sweet Zizol. So hopefully it won't get me.
Be Wise All
was Zizol. Quite literally, guys, this is okay. We're literally not sponsored. But if you wanted to sponsor us, I take your medication like year round. Zizol. But guys, if Zyrtec doesn't work for you, if Claritin doesn't work for you, try Zizol. Like, do it. Like, it changed me. Like, Zyrtec doesn't work for me anymore. I tried Zizol because my doctor told me to. And it's awesome. But yeah, no, we're literally not sponsored. Like, that isn't even me trying to be coy. It's just a wreck. How are you, Neve?
I'm good. I'm trying to not get settled. Not to be like, I don't want to settle in. but like, I've been trying actively to not just like, be really good at the two jobs that I have and like never push myself beyond that, if that makes sense. Cause like, any, like there's so like, I've gotten like eco casts over the past few weeks or like callbacks for stuff. And so often has the thought crossed my mind of like, I like working my schedule now and I'm good at my jobs and I don't really want to go to start another rehearsal process. I was just in a rehearsal process. And that's not the mindset. That's not the grind set that I need to have as an actor.
You do not have a grind set, generally. you're just too...
I work hard.
No, you work hard, but you're a very content person.
No, you're so
You just enjoy what you're doing at the moment too much. I'm never happy.
No, I'm like, I want to do more. I just like, especially going into like some of the, like, it was mostly with like summer stock contracts, which honestly I don't regret not submitting to as many summer stock contracts as I could have, just because I don't like, there's actually, it's not just a like, I'd be more content here. It's like, I don't want to go there. And like, there's no point. I really don't want to go there.
You will not make money.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even like worth the paycheck. So I just, I don't know. Maybe 2024 is the year of Neve developing a grind set. But I am working really hard with, that's another thing is like, I'm working really hard in my acting class, and my acting class has like every month has like a public scene day performance, and like, they're always filming short films. So it's just like, that also feels, even though it's not like external auditioning, like I'm like still doing, which I am, it's a good connection to like have, but it's just still like it makes it even more of just like, I like what I'm doing. I don't need to submit all of this stuff. It's like, just submit it. It's not that deep. Film yourself tapes, you know?
Real.
How are you, Brayden?
I'm good. I came to the realization yesterday that I probably have to go to grad school. So I'm reckoning with that.
Oh my God. Literally so silly.
No, it's not like I've threatened to go to grad school before. This is not the same as when I threatened to go to grad school.
You're
I don't know what to do.
Brayden led up to this. Like he was going to tell me that like he had terminal cancer or was like going to move out and hated me as a roommate. He was like, I just need to be honest with you about something. We're sitting in the living room. I'm like, okay. It was just that he needed to go to grad school.
No, to explain, I just do think to pursue directing professionally, to like really be able to sustain myself with a life in directing and like a career, like to make money, I think I have to have a master's.
And I think that's a fair assessment, actually.
Yeah.
So
it's just wild because like
top 10 people who like don't like school.
I don't like institutions.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't like institutions, but like grad school is mostly working anyway. Like you're like for theater, you're doing the work. I think I'm just coming to terms with I should take it more seriously. I'm not like applying to grad school tomorrow, but I think I'm taking that path more seriously for myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I mean like next year. I just mean like down the line.
Right.
Period.
Work. If you wanted to go to grad school in Chicago.
I mean, maybe. I'm looking everywhere.
Nice.
Well, with that news and revelation, we're back to Return to Camp Half-Blood. Welcome. I don't know why I said that in a different order than I've said it for the past 201 episodes. But we're episode 202. We're trying new things. We are going to shake some stuff up when we're done with Trials of Apollo, but more that's yet to come. Mostly we haven't decided what that means, but we just know we're going to change some stuff up just because we're tackling books in a different way after that. But for now, welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood Classique. We will be discussing the Trials of Apollo, the Tyrant's Tomb, chapters 37 through 40, through the theme of Deus Ex Machina. This is something that we're changing up already a little bit, is we're going to commit to like including tropes in our discussions, mostly because we're running out of themes. We're still going to do themes, but like we're making it a little easier on ourselves. We're broadening our horizons a little bit, just as the Wordle is considering what new words to add because they're going to run out of words in 240 or something days.
Yeah.
We are also considering that we're going to run out of themes eventually, and clearly Rick Riordan is not going to run out of books.
Exactly.
Never.
We're scheduled out through the next year in just Percy Jackson books still.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then we're doing Magnus Chase, but like it's going to keep going. We have no lack of content to cover, and we cover things very slowly. So, with that, it is my turn to summarize what happened in the book this week in chapters 37 through 40 of The Tyrant's Tomb.
Go.
All right. Okay. So, Frank is dead, but Frank is back! the emperors are dead. They're not back. Tarquin has been dead this whole time, more dead now. That's really what happens. Artemis comes in, kills Deus Ex Machina, ergo the title of this episode. Also, Hazel is serving.
And you're done. Also, Hazel is serving. Always is.
That's what happened. You cannot fault me for that. Oh, the biggest thing I missed was Lavinia was... We didn't even talk about this last week at all. That the ships exploded.
Oh, that.
Whatever.
Lavinia told us.
Big reveal, it was Lavinia. Bigger reveal, it was under Raina's orders.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing it with her.
I always knew my little bitches would conspire, you know?
Two girls bound to conspire to make a little secret plan.
They have little evil energy in the way that I really resonate with. You know, I was... Mm-hmm.
Just two queer women conspiring.
That's probably why I'm drawn to both of them, is because I'm a queer woman who conspires as well.
I'm a queer man who conspires.
Let's fucking go.
I would say more I scheme than conspire. Definitely conspire. We conspire together for sure.
We do conspire together. I think on our own, we're both schemers.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, love it.
What songs do we bring this week for the Tyrant's Tomb playlist? I'll go first. Mine is for the moment in which Hazel hears that Frank is dead, and this is a trope that I love broadly, when like the character's love interest dies and they just kind of go on a rampage. They go after the villain in like such, they're no longer holding back. And Hazel has had to hold herself back all of these fucking books because she's always the bridesmaid, never the bride. I would still say the same thing for this book, unfortunately.
Yeah.
However, when she like pulls the gems from the ground and like shoots them I was like, this is just giving Wanda killing the Illuminati. Like, yes. She is so calm. She is so like one-minded. She's like, I'm going to kill Tarquin. That is what I'm gonna do. And she does everything she possibly could. Unfortunately, they just like literally needed a god to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But oh boy, was she fierce. With that said, I chose You Should See Me in a Crown by Billie Eilish.
Oh my god, fierce?
Yep.
Fierce.
Olivia Wilde nod.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde nod.
Also, Barbie jump.
Yes. Oh, that I love that gif is one of my favorite things in the entire world, where she's just like clasping her hands, like nodding in the final scene, and then starts dancing. I don't know why. It's so applicable to so many situations. I love her.
Best things to come out of 2023. Olivia Wilde nod
and Barbie
gift. Yeah, Barbie
that's
jump.
So right.
Yeah.
That's so right.
Oh God, Brayden, you had me completely change up my pick. Because when you were talking about Hazel being always a bridesmaid, never a bride, I was so ready to submit Miss Farewell by Hozier off of his new EP, which, if we're not streaming, what are we doing? Also, it's not new at the time that this episode is coming out. So what are we doing? But I had to change it because when you said always a bridesmaid, never a bride, I did think about always an angel, never a god. And while I don't think this is appropriate necessarily thematically regarding the chapters, I had to choose Not Strong Enough by Beguinas.
Not Beguinas.
While I am a queer woman, I'm not an avid Boy Genius listener because my thing is simply... it's sad. Why would I make myself sad? But I respect the artistry. And that line, like, so Hazel. Always an angel, never gone. So
true. Beguinas is good.
I just am not sad enough for Beguinas.
Me neither.
Exactly. Like, if Beguinas had found me, like, sophomore year of college or, like,
sophomore year of high school, horrible.
Yeah, sophomore year of college for sure.
Sophomore year of college or like any time in high school, I probably would have been like, yes, this is
my life. But like right now, like I'm chill. I respect the art though.
But it's like my sad girl group music is Muna. Like I need a little beat. A little beat.
As we said before, we've talked about this, crying in the club.
Crying in the club.
But I can't be crying
on the bathroom floor.
Hair on the bathroom floor.
By Muna.
I can't be like crying by myself in the shower of a basement of a, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like that's a lot.
Yeah. I'm not in the dark. Like no. I'm not.
No.
Yeah. I'm like drunk in the tub crying.
Yeah. I'm like,
that's the Muna vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go crying in the tub, like red wine. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have an explanation for this. I've sat here the past couple minutes trying to, like, I picked this song like an hour ago and I was like, can I just come up with an explanation for this in any way other than just like it's vibes? No. It's Playing God by Paramore. I don't have any, I can't even, I've done this before. I can't even give you a good reason. It just, I don't know. It just feels appropriate to the whole battle scene. I guess that's my description, is that like, it feels appropriate to the scoring of the battle scene that I'm like, it's going in.
Word.
Yeah.
That's such a valid choice.
Thank you.
I also want to give a shout out to, it wasn't my choice this week, but Bodyguard, I think, is a
real... By Beyonce.
It's a real Abel-coded song.
True. I agree. I love that fucking song, guys. Oh!
I agree.
Agreed. What were our favorite moments of these chapters? I mean, I think I explained mine. It was just Hazel...
Yeah.
Eating it up.
Honestly, I have to agree. I also did like the fleet of army unicorns, though.
Mm. That was good. I thought that the... I mean, we'll talk about that with the theme. Well. Diana slash Artemis was like... Like her moments in this were very good. Yeah. I think that it was an interesting, like, I don't know, Apollo reacting to it was very little sweetie.
Yeah. And I think Apollo also needed it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
No, yeah. I mean, let's just do it then. Let's just jump into the theme. Like, this is what we want to talk about. Let's talk about it. The theme is Deus Ex Machina. And if you do not know the history of the trope, the term Deus Ex Machina, it comes from Greek mythology, and it like is a term that kind of references when at the end of a Greek tragedy, a god comes in and just solves everything, and like is like, and here's what you did. The best example I can come up with is at the end of the Oresteia, and Athena's like, bam, I hate women. that is what happens at the end of the Oresteia.
Yes, and I have so many feelings. We're not going to talk.
I have a lot of feelings about the Oresteia.
Me too.
Love Orestes, though. Gay king.
Are we Electra and Orestes?
We're so Electra and Orestes coded.
So real. Woo!
Want to go kill Clytemnestra?
Like, no, but I will.
Like, no, but if I have to.
Deus Ex Machina literally translates to a god from a machine.
Yep.
This is specifically a reference to, they literally used to like lower, like the god would be lowered down on like a pulley kind of system. Like a crane, you know, like a freight crane. That's basically what the machine looks like. And they're lowered onto the stage. Thank you, theater major with an emphasis on classics.
literally. Very Mary Poppins core, kidding. She did not appear in the
screen. No, you're not kidding.
Well, I don't feel as though she appeared at a time in the story's arc that it would technically be considered that.
That's so true.
But very cool idea of like, it doesn't matter where this bitch came from. Also, I mean, aside from that, I love the idea that like Apollo is cemented almost in his mortality in this, because the idea of like a godly presence emerging or something is his sister, but it's not as though it's like framed as such. Like it's framed as a god coming down to, you know, get a bunch of mortals to get the fuck up, or like a bunch of demigods or something. Apollo is like now firmly grouped in with the people that he's been spending all of his time with by another god, like his sister.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, it is the most like positively slap in the face example of like the work he's put in to understand mortality. I just think it's so great. Whoa, something happened outside.
Real life motorcycle came past. I'll leave it in.
Damn. It's so real and raw. No, but I think it's just a great, I like the placement in the book was also really wonderful.
Yeah, I also liked it. I want to include a modern example for people who didn't get the Oresteia reference because they may have not read classic Greek plays, because even Greek mythology people don't often read the plays. but when Captain Marvel comes in at the end of Endgame,
true,
is a good example of it. The like a god or a godlike character or a more powerful character than exists already in the story comes in and fixes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god.
Interesting, like how this has been so, like we've just known from, I feel like this is a trope that is normally like a, oh my god, like people can't believe it's happening. Like, thank god, this is so surprising. And like, this has been prophesized since the start of this story.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really, like, while Rick is relying on a trope to wrap up the conflict of this book, it's like somehow also subverting the trope in the sense that like we knew this was coming and we put active steps to make the god appear.
Yeah.
You know, like it was part of the main journey of the book to get this to happen, when normally it's like a, oh, thank god someone just came and saved us situation, you know?
It's almost a similar use kind of the plot as in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Of the prince comes in at the end and is like, hey, you shouldn't kill each other. I'm going to fix the, but like it doesn't realize Romeo and Juliet. They're still spoilers.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet still died, but at the end, everything is solved. Like the feud and everything is solved by an outside force.
Yeah.
But it is a force that is present throughout the rest of the story.
Yeah.
It's interesting though, because in Romeo and Juliet, the prince tries to do it multiple times. Like he tries to quell the feud multiple times, and like he ends up solving smaller problems or like putting up smaller fires. But like, I think at the end is definitely when he's most powerful. And I think that ties into the idea that like Artemis / Diana has been appearing like in little glimpses, like throughout these books, and like we all understand her power, and like we all understand, we've understood since the Titan's curse, frankly, that like she's one of the most kick-ass like people on Olympus, people loose term, but the idea that like we're now seeing this like friendly face of ours who we know to be very powerful almost come back and like subvert any ideas that we had about like what she would look like at her most powerful. It just makes the Deus Ex Machina of it all more impactful, I think, like to see a force that we have seen before, but we haven't seen them at their most beneficial.
And I like too that she doesn't come in and solve everything.
Right.
Like, we talked about this, but like the idea that Hazel basically does everything and she just comes in to like deliver that final blow, that little like is almost it is almost Deus Ex Machina, like it's mechanical almost.
Yeah.
And, like, she just does a required service. She doesn't really come in and fix it for them.
Yeah.
And they put in, and like you said, they put in the work to get her there.
Yeah.
So it is this trope, but it's also not in a very cool way. She does, it is the most literal in the way she cures Apollo.
Yes, because he wakes up and she's like, you think that this was light work, babe. Disease gone. Yeah, that was definitely crazy. But I think I'm also just so glad it wasn't Zeus. Like, as soon as he was like, it could be Zeus. Well, Jupiter, whatever the fuck. When he was like doing the summoning ritual like last week, he was like, it could be Zeus, but Zeus could laugh in my face. There's only one like God I could call upon. And I'm like, oh, and it's not Zeus. That's so slay. It's just so much more interesting that it's not Zeus, because obviously Zeus could fix this, but he's a terrible person. And it's so much more like person in the weakest term, but like, it's so much more impactful that they are brother and sister in this way. You know, it's just a much better, like, just plot wise for Apollo as our main character. It's so much better that it's her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also just nice to see their relationship after like them being forcibly separated.
Yeah.
Cause it's not, she talks about Zeus in the way that you're like, I really feel the family dynamic. And she's like, I really wanted to help you, but I really couldn't. But like, thank you for doing it in a way that like I could.
Yeah.
I think yeah. It was just a cool way to get around the rules that have been put in place, but in a way that doesn't break the story.
Totally. I think I'm personally always impressed in how Rick writes such like poignant and not to use the word relatable. I'm so sorry, but like,
reclaim it.
Relevant ways to talk about like modern human family through these crazy like ancient beings. You know what I mean? Because you could so easily just like think about it for more than 10 minutes and like rip apart, but like on the surface and the way that these characters are written in Rick's books, it's like so, because I don't know why it's reminding me of, just talking about this reminds me of the TV show, but the TV show was so much about like really emphasizing like how the family dynamic, that's like family issues that we see play out in actual life are shown through these like fantastical characters. And I think that it's a theme that like we don't focus on a lot, and like most people don't focus on a lot happening in the books all the time. But I think these chapters were really evident of it, that like Rick just writes very, very good comparison to like how families work now.
Yeah, because I think
ancient stories.
I think there's a root in that first book, in The Lightning Thief, of talking about families outside of the nuclear family in a like,
yeah,
like there's such an emphasis put on modern definitions of family.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of media that approaches it. Like the nuclear family, well, okay, is in the past couple years has not been the standard of family. I think we're going back to that. You know, like people are pushing for a return to that.
Yes, of course.
In conservative spaces, that is scary, but we have had a lot of media in the past like 10 years that are about different kinds of families.
Yeah.
But when like The Lightning Thief first came out, it was still a like pretty new idea that you're talking about this family that is basically just a mom and a son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool because I don't know, that made me think of Penelope, like from the Odyssey. Love her. She's so Sally coded. But anyway, to kind of like piggyback, oh Jesus, off of kind of the other theme that Neve talked about, like that's literally my soapbox. My primary soapbox in this life is the idea that like baseline human behavior has never changed. And like, that's the entire thing that like Rick, I think, sets out to make clear to like current generations. Totally. Is like, we have so many metaphorical ancestors, like
written in these stories that were thousands and thousands of years old. And they could teach us so much about ourselves if we feel as though they are accessible to us. Like, that's my whole fucking thing. So I'm
going to preach to the choir here, but like, that's the cool thing about history. And that's the important thing about history. Like, exactly. It's such a bumper sticker tagline to be like, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. But like, it's so real because there are people who are not internalizing that. like, you see these patterns, and that's why the humanities are so important and human nature is so important, because beyond the way the world works, which STEM fields are about the laws of nature, the way things work, but humanities are about the way that things actually play out, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, there are tools that do things, mm-hmm. and then there are the ways those tools are used.
Yeah.
And it's so much more closely related than we like to pretend it is. But I don't know. I feel like the humanities doesn't always get enough love in how important it is to understand human nature.
Absolutely.
In history and the way we tell stories and what that means and the politics. And if we don't tell stories, if we don't preserve art in a way that like is accessible to people, we are doomed as a society. And I hate streaming.
Please.
Next Life Theater Company at Next Life Theater Come on Instagram.
Please. I also I was just gonna say it's interesting because it's almost like science, it feels as though science studies like the mechanics of an event as it happens or something, and then the humanities study like the cause and the effect, and then science, what's the cause and the effect like concerning, like what's the subject of that? Like it's cool. It's almost like the no, I was gonna say the worst sentence anyone has ever said.
You have to say it now.
Now it has to be said.
Okay. I was gonna say science is like, or STEM is like the object of, or no, sorry, I fucked it up. STEM is like the subject of a sentence, and the humanities are like the object of the sentence. But I also don't think that's true, and I think it should be flipped. Anyway,
the other way around, yeah. But nice try.
I just got too caught up in the fact that I didn't want to say it. Yeah.
But yes, the STEM is the object, and
yeah.
Now I'm. You got me.
No, I'm pretty confident.
Yes, it's objective versus subjective.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The STEM is the object, and humanities is the subject.
Yeah.
None of us were English majors, clearly.
No.
But hey, no. One thing about me is I excel at grammar and can spell anything. Let it be known.
I can tell a story, but I can't use the proper grammar or spelling. So,
guys, I need everyone on this podcast to know that every time Brayden types the word barely, it comes out as barley. I don't know what goes on to make it happen. I think maybe his phone autocorrects barely to barley at this point. But anytime we get a text message with the word barely, it's barley. And now anytime I see the word barely, even in the context of outside of Brayden's text messages, I will be like barley in my own mind. It's so funny.
I literally can't help it.
And that's okay. Because we got it. Barley has a totally different meaning to me now.
But it's like, you know what I mean. And,
yeah, exactly.
And barley does not come up as a word often enough for it to be confusing.
Confusing, exactly. No, I'm in full support. If you ever typed the real word barely, I'd be like, oh, I'd be sad.
Stream Wildflower and Barley by Hozier and Alison Russell. Also, you know, we all have our own different unique strengths and weaknesses. Like, for example, I can spell anything and do any grammar. However, I'm the most directionally challenged person I've ever met. And Brayden knows where he is at pretty much every given moment, right? But maybe can't spell. And that's okay. We bring out the best in each other and sometimes the worst. So.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm very good at directions.
Yeah, see, and I'm shit at them, but I can spell. Listeners. Listeners, write in with a word that you want me to spell out loud on the pod next week, and I will do it.
All right.
Someone's going to send you an insane word. You're going to regret
it. I know. I don't know why I set myself up for that.
But if they send you the word, then you see the spelling.
Well, I would send the
You read it out to me.
Send me the word. So send me the word, and I'll ask Ava.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
But I don't know where north is.
It's up.
Not
straight
always.
Up, straight up in the air. It's straight up in the air, Ava. That's
you can't tell me that.
You got to think multidimensionally. Then north is kind of anywhere. North is Kamala. In the fourth dimension.
How many theater majors does it take to figure out basic?
No, I know where north is.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to do our sass moments?
Yes.
Sure. I'm a little distracted trying to figure out where north is in relation to me.
I have you scared me, Frank saying, Hazel said. You broke my heart when I thought Frank's expression turned sheepish without him actually, you know, turning into a sheep. Thanks, Apollo. This is like a great emotional moment. And he's like, what if Frank was a sheep right now? I don't know. It really made me laugh.
Mine is I liked the unicorns. We didn't talk about the unicorns that much, but I liked them. Outfitted in Kevlar with their names printed in white block letters along their ribs. Muffin, Buster, Wangdoodle, Shirley, and Horatio. The unicorns of the apocalypse. Apocalyptic.
Yep.
What a genius, like, oh, what a great spread we have here.
It's such a fantastic collection of names.
It is.
Horatio. With Wangdoodle? That's awesome. Yeah, I love it. Love it, love it. Oh, God. I don't know. There are a lot of good ones. I'm thinking about doing a haiku, but the haikus might not have all been worth it. I don't know. Okay. So let me find it. Guys, to be so honest, I lost it, and that was me procrastinating trying to find it again. But I think
you know, I couldn't tell it all.
I was gonna say, but I think you could tell that. Even okay, yes, here it is. They remained frozen in disbelief. Perhaps they didn't recognize this wrecked creature as Commodus. Perhaps they thought he was doing another one of his spectacles, and they were waiting for the right moment to applaud. Incredibly, Commodus struggled to his feet. He wobbled like a 1975 Elvis. Ships, he croaked. I think that's awesome.
No, that was a good moment. It was fun.
Ships. Like, I can hear it. Like, I imagine like a very elderly opera tenor. Like, you know what I mean? Like trying things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, ship. And the entire Legion is like, we've respected you before this. What is up with you? I don't know. I kind of constructed a whole picture in my head.
No, you like you were writing a story here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's probably why it jumped out at me and probably to not in general.
Full Ava fan fiction.
I thought it was funny.
No, it was funny. I just like how funny Ava found it.
Mm-hmm. I love like a one word, like, oops. Or like it's okay. To me, it reminds me of the TikTok audio that's like, I have purse.
Yeah.
I have purse.
I have purse.
Yeah, love that. Who do you want to give offerings for?
I'm going to go Lavinia.
Cool.
Thank you.
Work.
Thank you.
Go off.
I don't really feel like Frank needs it as he is alive, plot twist. Yes. So I don't really know if he needs an offering. He's already alive when he should
be. Yeah, you know what? Being alive is enough.
Yeah.
That's so, enough of a reward.
Yeah. So we'll give it to Luke.
Why are you asking for more?
Yeah. We'll give it
No, we're very happy that Frank is alive.
No, we're literally so happy that Frank is alive. We didn't talk about it enough in this episode. I was so devastated.
Yeah.
Mine is Hazel.
Period. She went through a lot. She went through a lot in these specific chapters alone. So, yeah. And she's always my girl. I love Hazel.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was between Hazel and Raina, frankly, but... if you're going to give it to Hazel, I'll give it to Raina. It's not the most, like, important, or, like, not the most, like, spot on, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, but I still think she's doing a great job.
I agree. She pulled one over on us.
I was going to say, what we found out, you know.
Pour one out on the side, though, for Talia, because Jason is dead.
Jason is dead.
Yeah.
They didn't really know each other that well.
But, like, you know? They didn't really, like, talk about... Like, yes, Apollo was like, I feel bad that Talia's here. That must be so rough for her. But it was, like, four lines. I don't know. We didn't talk about that a lot. Maybe we will in the future chapters.
They had a complicated relationship. They didn't really know each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Like, she already thought he was dead for years, and then he's back. I don't know. I can't pretend... I cannot pretend to know how that would feel.
Yeah.
Right.
She's not happy.
Right.
However...
Yeah.
Not worthy enough of the offering for this week, unfortunately. Sorry. Who are you voting off? I guess Tarquin. No, Tarquin because he was mean to the cat.
That's a great reason, actually.
Great reasoning.
Another honorable mention to Aristophanes for being just a bitch.
Yeah.
Love, obsessed. That's mother. That's mother. Aristophanes, Briares, my pantheon.
Please.
I don't know. I guess I'll just do Tarquin as well. It's just there was one clear villain, and he.
That's the thing.
He ate shit.
He ate shit. So
he did eat shit. And that's why I'm like, does he deserve a third vote off? You know what I mean? What's another? Oh, God. I mean, Nero's still alive for now. So fuck that.
I think your hate campaigning.
I'd say Ava is the conductor of the Nero hate train.
Two. Train is leaving.
Yeah.
Well,
with that, I suppose that's all for this week. Join us next week where we'll be discussing and finishing
the Tyrant's Tomb.
Make sure to follow us on social media. We're at Return to Camp on every platform that matters. And we also have a coffee account and a Redbubble store and a website, www.returntocamp.com.
Exciting.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Yeah, bye.
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 I have to pee so bad.
Oh, Neve has to pee so bad.
Be right back.
So bad.
That would have been bad. Well, wouldn't it?
That would have.
But it's fully empty.
She just kicked an empty wine bottle across the room.